Learned a lot today on the show. Learned that you never want to get a missent text from Marto, definitely.
No, I'm a bit bummed you wouldn't let me ring the boss and just you own it, but I can kind of understand why you wouldn't.
He's already received a testicle text.
Yeah.
What about what are you accidentally eating? There's a lot of people chewing down on dog food.
That was good. That was good fun too. And what is the worst type of partner to have? Wine drinkers, horse lovers, plenty in there. And then
Gordy Tallis.
Yeah, Gordy Tallis talking
worst partner.
Yeah. Either or, he can go either way.
Some Gordy Tallis talking Bronx. Have a great catch up. We will speak to you soonies.
Can I get a ruling from you you guys? Are we allowed to get involved in our drive show with Luke Bradnam and Libby Trickett and Dobbo?
I've called in once to them.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, good, I didn't hear that. I've been working, you know, doing work on the tools lately, and I've been listening. And the other day, Friday a week ago, okay, Dobbo started talking about freeballing, okay? If anyone doesn't know, Dobbo's on the drive show. But he was talking about not wearing
underwear. He doesn't wear underwear, Ed, on a Friday.
He made a lot of sense.
Okay.
And I sent a text message just to give him a bit of thumbs up, Dobbo. Nice work, son. He read it out because he said, oh, Marto's giving me backup. And I was painting away. And I went, oh, good one. Righto. Didn't think much more of it. And he kept talking about this, you know, freeball Friday and, you know, it's good for the boys to have a breathe. And I thought, yeah, that's great. And then I thought, because I was on a work site and I was actually up a ladder, and it reminded me, we used to have an electrician who used to wear those nylon rugby league shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't wear any, and it was very offensive, and we had to talk to him about it. So, again, I sent Dobbo the text. I said, mate, all good, except for testicle view, you know, for open testicle viewing, it's no men on ladders. Men on ladders have to wear underpants.
Yes.
All right. So that text just read. So I sent the first one, and Dobbo said, replied. "Oh, Marto's with me." Yeah. And I thought I'll just send him another one. Don't want it to read out, but just if he wants to use it on air, just telling him all good except for men who go up ladders because you can see their testicles if they're not wearing undies. Yes. That's what the text. Okay.
Great.
Went back to work.
Get it.
I thought, oh, that's funny. Dobbo never responded because often he goes, yeah, cheers, mate, and that sort of stuff. And I never heard, he never said anything about it in the next break on air and all that sort of stuff. Well, about 4 days later, I was just deleting texts and I realised, you know, the bloke who's the big, big, like the Australian boss of our radio and TV company, his name's Dobbo.
Oh, no.
He, you know, because he's about my age and he actually from Brisbane and I've used to know him quite well. His number's still in my phone book, in my contact list. Haven't seen him for a fair while because he hasn't
you
had the reprimand.
Sent it to him.
I sent it to him. So he would have been going about his business of running a large radio and television empire and some, he probably doesn't even got my name in his list. I don't know. So he's just got a up men up letters should have to wear underpants because you, otherwise you can see their testicles. How's that one? Didn't get a reply. And I thought about, like, when I saw it 3 days later, I thought, do I write an explanatory text going, oh, sorry, other Dobbo, this is Marto, this was
can
a
can we ring
you.
Him?
Oh, I suppose so.
That would be so funny.
What, to ask what he thought of that thing?
I'm thinking, I want to speak to the guy up the ladder. That's who I want to speak to.
Oh, yeah. See if he's Al, if you're listening, it's you I'm talking about. He knows it too because things used to come out.
What?
And you don't. Oh, well, that's why the text was sent, because we used to get an eyeful of our Sparky putting a fan or a light on. You'd walk past the ladder and you'd go, oh, tuck it in. And you go, I've got nothing to tuck it into.
Okay.
But I'd rather talk about text. Surely everyone's sent a stupid, the wrong text. That's the problem. People with the same names.
Yep. Or just one up, one down in your phone, replying to someone or sending a text about someone
to the actual person.
Accident,
that's never
accident.
Good.
That sucks.
I had a friend that used to take photographs of his genitals and then we would all say a number where we'd all like, oh, and then someone would shout out four. And
oh, my God.
And he would just, and he would send it and then underneath it he would write, your turn.
What?
Yeah.
What
is this a friend?
Yeah.
Did he ever get anything back?
Yeah, look, yeah, it was.
I think that's against the law.
Okay, can we stop now, Fran? Okay. Fran of North Lakes.
Hi, Fran.
Have you done a missent text?
It wasn't me. It was my best friend who sent a text to me and my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, and said, I just saw his ex-wife at the light, and oh, my God, you're Audrey Hepburn beautiful compared to her. And then she realised that she'd sent it to him as well, not just me.
Oh.
And she threw her phone and tried to unsend it, but of course you can't do that.
No, you can't.
And then she rang me and she said, oh, you need to ring him. And I'm like, no, you sent that. You get yourself out of it.
Oh,
it
that
was
hurts.
Terrible.
See, that hurts. It's such a sinking feeling, Fran, when you realise you've done it. It's just a sinking feeling. Okay.
Was he all right with it in the end?
He was. They played a bit of a joke on me, actually, and kind of kept it going for a little while and made out that he was really upset about it because I was like, you can't say that about the mother of his children. It's terrible. Yeah. But he was just stirring me up and kept me going and it was all fine.
All's well that ends well. There you go.
What about Kenny? Ken from Kalanga. What was it, mate?
Yeah, well, I was in a new relationship and I also used to train people, and I was sending some fun, fast, explicit text to my new partner.
Ooh,
and,
sexting.
And didn't realise I actually sent it to a gay guy I used to train with a very similar name.
And, how'd it go?
He came back very quickly with that he didn't know I felt that way. I nearly had a heart attack there and then, but I quickly sent him a message back saying, look, sorry, wrong person, it was meant for Rose, and he came back with a wink and a tick or whatever saying, if you ever change your mind.
And tell me, Ken, do you still see Todd McKinney at all, or was that the last time spoken to him? Thank you, Ken.
There's a lesson there for everyone.
There's no losers in that. Everyone's had a fun. Everyone's had a win.
Had
there.
A good time.
Everyone's had a win.
A thumbs up and a wink.
Craig and Marumba Downs, tell us about the missent text.
Yes, well, it was my wife and I. We have a pet name, if you would like to call it, for down there. And
well, little Craig.
No, for my wife, actually. It was a pet name for my wife down there.
Okay. Oh, okay. And,
we were exchanging text messages and, around what we might do later on that evening. And I made mention in a text. And during that, I thought, I haven't got a reply. That's funny. It stopped replying. And then I went and checked my phone and realised that, oh, no. And then I got a reply, but it was from my daughter. Saying, oh, Dad, what's that?
Oh, like, oh, no. That's the worst.
that was awkward, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your wife's going to be stoked you've just told Brisbane as well.
How'd you dig yourself out of that one?
Like, I haven't revealed the actual name. So.
Did you have to have a family meeting or just let it calm down?
Oh, no, the daughter wanted to know a lot more, but
how old was your daughter?
At the time, she was about 17 or so.
Jesus Christ. There you go. Well done, Craig.
Thank you. Now, if you've been following the story, it's been going for a couple of years, but health blogger Belle Gibson, she of the Whole Pantry Wellness Empire. So basically, she told everyone that she had brain cancer and that she cured it by eating all the right foods. Anyway, the whole gig has finally gone to court, but we brought our own Claire in from the newsroom to give us an update on what's going on. The thing I don't understand, Claire, is how come she's not in jail?
Absolutely. Now, it's probably the question on everyone's mind, to be honest, but the thing we need to remember here is she is in front of court, yes, but the police have not charged her, okay? So Victoria Police are not interested in charging her.
Even though she's done terrible things and, lied, and a judge is saying that she has purposely misled the public.
And that she's actually admitted that money that she obtained with the intention of donating it to charity, she admitted that she did not give it to charity. So she's admitted she kept that money, but the Victoria Police still say they're not interested in charging her. The ACCC, so they're the group that organise, officially whether someone's running a scam or not, they're not interested in charging her either. So who actually charged her was the Consumer Affairs Victoria. Now, again, they have charged her with a lesser charge, is what, a lot of people are saying, than they could have. So they could have charged her with running an appeal without being registered. That does come with jail time. What they've chosen to charge her with is purely the fact that she defrauded clients, profited from a false claim. So that does not come with a sentence of jail time.
Are they going to fine her?
The thing is, they can fine her for up to a maximum of $1 million. Oh, so they reckon that that'll happen when the sentence is handed down. But Belle's company that ran the whole pantry is in liquidation. Mm. She personally has no assets. Oh. She's a 25-year-old young mother.
Right.
So they're saying, well, she'll get $1 million of fines potentially, but not pay a cent back anyway because she doesn't have anything.
But over a two-year period, it says in the news here that the 25-year-old earned $420,000 from her book and app. Well, that money's gone somewhere.
Absolutely. So all up, they think that she actually profited by more than $1 million over these years. So it started in 2009. It went on until, you know, about 2 years ago now that it all kind of fell apart for her. So they reckon up to $1 million she profited, but where that's gone, she's got no assets.
And now here's
she's
the kicker.
Doing some new stuff.
Yeah, she's learned from her mistakes because she's now allegedly posting in an online community about a fasting system, and someone using the name Harry Gibson, which looks remarkably like her, said that a huge rope worm was released after she had an enema.
60 centimetres long. That's a big worm coming out of you. Any pictures?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, why?
She's also claimed that this fad diet has changed her eye colour in less than 2 weeks as well, let alone the weight loss that it's supposedly done, but changed her eye colour.
Is she all right?
Well, that's the thing. So the courts are saying that the judge said earlier this week that they're actually concerned about whether she was under a delusion or an altered state of mind at the time.
Don't let her get away with that.
Well, it's sort of like when people get off on insanity.
That's what rugby league players do. They go straight to this when the problem is actually gambling, drugs or alcohol, and they go, oh, mental health. I'm sorry, you can't do that.
And that's what the judge is weighing up at the moment. So the actual penalty will be handed down by the end of the month, but it's not looking good for the people who are anti-Belle Gibson.
Tell you what, if you're looking to start a scam and you don't want to go, and if Peter Foster's listening, mate, if you're listening, this is the new scam because you won't go to jail for this one. For all of what he's done and he's been caught and, you know, whatever he's think, this is the one because you don't go to jail for it. You can get $1 million out of people saying you had cancer and you don't go to jail. Far out.
Pretty remarkable. Hey, thanks, Claire.
Kath's mum, my mother-in-law, beautiful woman, says she's had chemo recently. She's going through some cancer, 88 years of age. Okay, so everyone's rostered on to go and visit her, and some of the kids are coming up from the Gold Coast, some are from and she's at Sanford, some are from out west coming in, some coming up from Tassie and all, Sydney, and everyone's rostered on. We're rostered on last Friday night. So we went out to Sanford and took the dog with us.
Little Teddy,
he's going well. Took him, we took some dinner and we took some cheese and crackers and stuff and just sat there having a great yarn to her. One of the other sisters popped in on her way from home from work, so it was all really nice. And it was just taking care of her and making her feel that everyone cares and loves. All beautiful.
So very what nice. Happened?
She rang last night. Well, Kath rang her to say, how are you? You know, on a Wednesday night. She said, oh, we had a terrible time. She had a terrible time on the Tuesday. She gets together with the lady four doors up on a Tuesday and they have a Baileys every Tuesday.
Oh, I like that.
And they just have one Baileys, four decimates, both 88. Good. Two fat ladies, but they're not. 88, the numbers, bingo. Righto, so they're sitting there. She said, oh, things didn't go well, though. So they had that. She said, Kath, you know how you brought round all those crackers and the cheeses and a little bit of dip there last Friday and you left half a bottle of wine and, you know, Kath had done all this? She said, we were out there, we were having our Baileys and I grabbed some crackers and we were sitting there and we're eating them and they were really, there was some, it was like a, weren't sure what it was. They started, anyway. What had happened, Kath left the smackos there, and because they can't read, they were chicken strip smackos. The two old birds were sitting there having dog food, having their Baileys, and they go, is yours really tough? You know those chicken strips you just throw to the dogs?
Did they actually keep going?
They stopped going, and one of them went and got her glasses and went, oh, my God.
Did they do that thing like Lady and the Tramp where one was on one end and one was on the other end? They chewed their way to the middle?
I think they thought they had some beef jerky stuff. I don't know.
That's
because
hilarious.
Then Kath tells her other sister, and she lives out west at Baralaba. Apparently they've got some refugees out there. All right, apparently they've been planted out there, and they don't read really well. But the home brand dog food doesn't say dog food. It just says beef stew. Apparently.
Oh, that's awful.
I know.
Stop laughing.
All right.
Well, it is awful.
99 cents.
Well, my kitchen rules, just change it to my canine rules. Yeah. Let's go. Let's just open slather. Let's get into it. Maybe Powell's delicious. I don't know.
No, me neither.
What have you accidentally eaten?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. What have you accidentally eaten? You could have been overseas. Maybe it was here. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't read a label. What have you accidentally eaten? Carl from Wemuran. Was it your wife? What did she accidentally eat, Carl?
My wife and I were having chocolate at the computer table, and a bit fell on the table, and she didn't see the cat jump up there, and obviously had some dobbies from the cat box on his foot, and she picked it up and ate it, but it wasn't the chocolate.
Oh, wowzers.
And let's just say the cat wasn't drinking Red Bull, but it had wings.
Hey. Oh, okie dokie.
Thanks, Carl. Jenny of Carina Heights. What have you accidentally eaten?
It wasn't me. It was my partner. We had a barbecue one night, and I poured some oil into a small Coke bottle. And he was drinking Coke from a Coke bottle as well. And while he's cooking away, he's sculled out of the oil. Sculled the oil bottle instead of his Coke. So
Jesus, nice refreshing oil. Beautiful.
Yes.
He won't get colic.
Do you throw up, Jenny, when that happens?
No, he didn't, but he was well and truly gagging from it. He didn't go down very well at all.
What did you say, Robin? You won't get colic.
Yeah, they often treat pets and really big, like elephants and those kind of animals, with oil because it makes it go through.
A good news story.
Yeah,
we need a little bell when an interesting fact occurs in the show. Chris from Tingalpa.
How you going?
Yeah, what happened, mate?
I was out hunting out west with a mate, Andy, and I forgot my toilet bag, and it was time to brush my teeth before we went out, and he goes, "Oh, mate, can I borrow your toothpaste?" Like, "Yeah, sweet, over there." Put me hand in, didn't even think. Squirted her on the toothbrush, got going with it, and realised it was deep heat on the toothbrush.
What does that actually do to your mouth?
Well, it started burning, but it was more... I didn't realise for a few seconds, and then I realised what had happened when I looked at the toothpaste tube.
There's only one way to describe that, isn't there, Brendan?
It is horrific.
Too good, Cross.
Thanks, Cross. Smart Aled and Robin on the new Triple M. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tell us, everyone loves Tell us. Ahead of the Broncos versus Storm game tonight, we're checking in with Gordy Tallis. And Gordy, I guess there's only one thing that people will be talking about, the return of Billy Slater.
Yeah, look, how good is it, obviously? I watched the Queenslander show last night and everybody was talking about it. You know, he's been ready since round one. I think he was ready, could have played the nines, could have played a trial. I think the last time he was ready, his first tackle, Big Manu Vadevol, hit him and did it, I think, in maybe the first or second game. So he had a fair bit of head noise, so as you probably do, Marto, when you get older and it's the second time you've had an injury. But it's great for rugby league to see Billy Slater back, and great for Queensland, the injury to Greg Inglis.
I'm making a prediction he'll be close to man of the match, Billy Slater. I know everyone's going, "Oh, just give him time." No, Billy Slater hasn't been nothing wrong with his legs for the last year. He would have done a lot of running.
Absolutely, yeah. Mate, he's been on fire. He's been ready to go since round one. Cameron Smith, I spoke to him personally about 3 weeks ago, and he said Billy's been in great form, and he wasn't too sure because it was Billy's decision when he thought it was right to compete at the top level, that Billy was right. But his shoulder's been good for a long time. Obviously, when you get a shoulder, he's not confident when it's in all those positions, Marto, when you're trying to catch the ball over your head, or I think when you score a try, it gets stretched out. But mate, I think that's normal with everybody, you know. If you get him in a hold, it's going to hurt. So, but it's just great to see Billy back, and what a game. Brisbane's had a great start to the season. They played the defending premiers in Cronulla and had a great win, and it was a great game last Friday night. So both Gordy. Sides are in form.
Yeah, Gordy, we're very much looking forward to it. And would you think that Billy Slater would be in the Origin squad this year?
Yes, absolutely. He was
where,
out in court,
where,
right?
He's
fullback.
And where's put Boyd Darius Boyd to the wing?
Yes.
Are we in a bit of trouble Origin-wise? It's the first time ever we haven't got our 17 set in stone in August the year before.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's a little bit strange, isn't it? Look, Gio is really, really hard to replace because he's Greg Inglis. But I think Matt Scott's harder. I think the way this guy's set up the team, you know, losing Nate, Nate, you know, like everybody thought that was his last year, and losing a couple of big guys. When you lose a big guy in the middle of the ruck, and every time Matt Scott makes over 100 metres, Queensland win.
Oh,
so that's So now, she said, that's the biggest loss. So now there's a lot more pressure. But you see that Cohen Hess, the way he played, and Milford said that he was so bumped and bruised. So we've got all these young kids coming through, Marto. So just throw them in the deep end and they're either going to sink or swim.
Is it too late for Petro to come back?
You never know.
He wouldn't let us down.
Even I think that's ridiculous.
Mate, you never know, mate. He took his shirt off the other day and kids were rock climbing up it. So he's got abs everywhere.
Hey, Gordy, final question, because, you know, you've talked Origin and you've talked the Broncos voice storm, but I'm now being required to do tipping as being part of the show, and I can't pick between the Panthers and the Roosters.
Oh, I'm going to go the Panthers. The Roosters haven't put in a full 80 minutes yet, so they played 40 minutes against the Titans. It was the best 40 minutes of the year, then it was the worst 40 minutes, and Titans scored 20-odd points. And then last week, they started bad, and the Dogs got off to a great start. And the Panthers last week, the Tigers actually played really good, and they held it, and they blew them off the park.
I'm going to hold you responsible, mate. I'm just saying.
Thank you. Gordy, and if not, I'll give you those 2 points back.
Okay, Gordy Tallis, we will listen to you on the M's. We will see you on Fox, and we'll speak to you very soon. Thanks.
Cheers, guys.
Okay, can we have a conversation about the new Biggest Loser, Biggest Loser Transform? Particularly, Ed, I'm kind of interested in your thoughts because your wife, Tiff, used to be one of the trainers.
Yeah, that's right, and that means that now that she's not, I don't have to watch it.
So you can tell me what you really think.
I don't have to watch it.
You were one of the forgotten victims. Is that what you're telling
me? That's right. Thank you. Okay, yes, that's right.
I used to watch it.
Well, oh, did you?
I turned it on last night.
Well, here's my thing, right? I'm a massive, passionate Married at First Sight fan. So when Married at First Sight isn't on...
It's gone on for too long.
And I was looking for other things to watch. And I looked a little bit at the Attenborough, like, natural thing with the lion and the giraffe, which I quite liked. Anyway, then I stumbled on Biggest Loser. And they're doing this whole new concept. And they've gotten rid of the commando on Michelle. Mm-hmm. And they've got a new girl. And Shannon's still there. But it's called Biggest Loser Transformed. And as you mentioned last week, Ed, they're going more lifestyle-y. You know, they're trying to get, you know, real people, in inverted commas, who may not be overly obese.
Is that a genuine thing?
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Oh, my God, I didn't realise, because I just went last night, they're not fat enough.
No, well, okay.
They're not fat enough. They're like my mates.
Okay, well, this is my point, right?
Get and real
social media
on there.
Were absolutely a blast last night because one of the contestants is weighing in, Nikki, her name is just 7 kilos heavier than the weight of the average Australian woman. So she's 161.8 centimetres, and the average woman is supposed to weigh 71.1 kilos, and she's like 79 kilos, and they're saying that she needs the Biggest Loser, 78 kilos.
She started on the show at 78 kilos.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I used to hate it when, I'm 98 or 9, whatever. Well, when one of them start, when the girls started to get lighter than me, I used to say, that's not fair. I could now be on the show. But now you're saying they're starting at 79.
Now, guess is that what Channel 10 and the whole, you know, franchise is trying to do is say, if you feel that you're a little bit overweight, then this is a way that you can do it.
No,
but that's
Robin,
not how they've pitched it.
No, they're saving time. They want to do it quicker.
That's what Ed used to say to me.
Yeah, quicker. Oh. So if they start too heavy, it takes time. Even the experts, and they are experts, the people, you know, Michelle and Commando and Tiff and Shannon that work on it, to get the weight off those people, even going as hard as they make them go, then it takes time. It takes time to get the weight off. So if they're lighter, or the other trick is, and this
I
was
knew
a trick.
You'd know.
This is a trick played by the people that won last year, is to have been fit in the past. Be fit and then
put on weight. That bloke was like a bodybuilder or something.
Yeah, he was like a model and a model. And you're like, well, mate, you've got the bones underneath, so you're just going to take off a bit of the top layer. It's like when you're painting, Marto, you just shave a bit of the top layer off and away you go.
And that's why all the promos are saying, when that just before it kicked off the season, Shannon was going, you will see six packs and chicks in bikinis because they can actually guarantee that. Man, I'm
that's
glad
what we wanna
I
see.
Asked.
We want to see that at
I'm
the end, people
you'd
actually want to have a roll around with.
Yeah, but it is also, I think, pretty offensive to put a chick up there under the whole term of Biggest Loser, who is 8 kilos over what the average Australian
that
woman,
doesn't
you know.
Seem big enough.
It's hard enough, and let me just talk on behalf of a lot of women, it is hard enough to kind of be okay with how you look without seeing that a chick that's only a little bit bigger than you are.
He's on Biggest Loser.
When the people on the I'm a Celebrity are bigger than the people on Biggest Loser, you may have a problem.
That's so true. Casey's got him covered. Maybe Casey should get out.
I was talking about Steve Price. Yeah.
All right. I actually wrote on my notes, 8:05 last night, I changed over. I watched for approximately 2 minutes.
Yep.
And this is what I got. Now, it looks like the modern weight loss method. It may be an old-fashioned one, but this is fair dinkum for 2 minutes. This is what happened.
Bit of a warning if you are squeamish.
I know Simon is really not feeling that well.
Oh, don't.
All right, let that rise.
Jesus.
I added some other stuff.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I was going to say, that's explosive.
The first stuff was fair dinkum. That's what it was.
Oh, that's just disgusting.
It's like having a spew. Hello, top.
Marto and Ryan.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
Why don't we just stop? Ed Cavalli, you are a FIFA legend, or so my children keep threatening.
No, I like FIFA. Like to play a bit of FIFA. I won't deny that.
I know, and they want to take you on, and that is something that I think we'll need to record when that event actually ever happens. Yeah. But when it comes to me and football, because I actually watch a lot of it live, I spend a huge amount of time on the road, and because you've got to drop your kids off an hour before the actual game, if I've done all my work emails and I've spoken to my girlfriends and I've done all that stuff, I've now been looking a little bit for time-wasting games on my phone.
Whoa. Don't look at me.
I'm not a Candy Crusher. Oh, I know lots of people are. I've never, ever played a game of Candy Crush.
I don't even know. You know what? I'm so ignorant of these things. I don't even know what it looks like. Is there things fall into things?
I've just been playing a maths game, which I quite like, which is 2048 plus, where you just have got to, it's swiping and trying to add up in sets of twos and fours and eights and 16s and 32s.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun. I don't mind that one. That one kind of gets my head. My kids, I've just been looking on my phone. They've got Crush Royale. They love Crush Royale.
What's that?
Oh, it's like a big, you know, guns and there's a king and you kind of like, they're knights and they kill each other basically. Yeah. But
Clash Royale, that says.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Get it right.
Mate, I can't see the app on my phone. Royale. See, I've never played it.
I'm looking over your shoulder. I can read it.
Okay, I'm just curious. What is the phone games that people are playing in Brisbane?
Great question. Great question.
Ed, tell her what you do. Ed's very odd when he flies.
Because, you know, I have to fly show. I've got to fly a lot. So one thing I always do, Robin, is after I've had my cup of tea, I get up and I do a lap of the plane and I look in people's laps. To see what they are. Just to see what they've got in their hands and what they're doing. To see if anyone's reading a book. No, no one's reading a book. Are people watching the movies? Some people are watching the movies. If you are a middle-aged woman, you are 100% to be sitting there wasting your brain away with Candy Crush Saga. 100%.
And you reckon that's what's going to keep coming back to us, Candy Crush?
And if you are a man, angry birds going on.
Oh,
Angry Birds. And then there's this game where, I don't know what it is, but they seem to be building little forts. And then people are trying to attack their little fort.
Oh, is that not the game they advertise on TV sometimes?
That Mobile Strike, Arnold Schwarzenegger one?
No, this is like a sort of like a cartoony Game of Thrones.
Ah.
I think that's Clash of the Titans.
That's it, Clash Royale.
Yeah, put that back up.
Okay. What about you, Brendo? Because you're the youngest in this room. Yeah, are you a gamer on your phone?
Oh, I got into Everwing, which is on Facebook. You can get it in app. It's pretty much just modern day Gallagher.
Anyone ever heard of the paper, the newspaper?
Yeah, no. I want to know the time-wasting games that you are playing. Good. When you've got 10 minutes, what are you going to? Jodie of Dara.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Jodie. What are you playing?
I play Village Life.
Yeah, what do you do in Village Life?
You create little families and they reproduce and you basically run their life.
Wow. So you ignore your actual family while building a village family on your phone.
Yeah.
When do you do this, Jodie? I'm really fascinated because it sounds good, this old village life, but when do you do it? When do you have time?
In between shifts at night.
Yes, I knew it.
Whenever I can.
Or whenever you can.
Okay. Has this replaced television for people?
I think so.
Yeah, I prefer to do that.
Oh, that's a good one.
So, Jodie, how many hours a day would you do village life?
Probably two, minimum.
Wow.
Because, you know, I play a different game, Jodie. On my phone, I've got this game called Village People Life.
As an Indian, it's a very different game.
Tom, what are you playing?
Farm Hero Saga.
Oh, what's Farm Hero Saga?
It's similar to it's added to the Candy Crush and the Candy Crush Soda game.
Oh, so it's like things falling on top. It's like a poker machine, sort of, right?
Yeah, you got little creatures and that. You got to slide across, and it's pretty cool.
Tom, are you an intelligent bloke? Tom. Do you think this is a good use of time?
No.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it, Tom? You know you shouldn't be doing it, but it's addictive. I've had that with FIFA. I've one day looked up and gone, oh no, it shouldn't be.
Is it tomorrow?
Alan of Parkridge South, what are you playing?
Space Invaders 2.
Is it like the real one, the original?
Yeah, the original, the old 20-cent one.
Yeah, we're talking. You can play that on your phone.
Yeah. Space Invaders
2.
About
38,000
to be high score.
Whoa.
Congrats. I'll write that down. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Well, how many hours are you spending doing it, Alan?
Not very often. One or two, 1 hour a week sort of thing. Not very often.
Okay. That's not an addiction.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. We don't really have a yardstick as to what a good score in Space Invaders 2 is, but hey, 38,000 sounds impressive.
Nailed it, mate.
Yeah. Okay, Carmen of Regent's Park, what are you playing?
I'm playing Two Dots.
Ooh, what's Two Dots?
Two Dots. One. So,
or we call it Dots.
don't encourage him.
We're calling it Dots for short because Two Dots is a little bit long. But it's similar to like Candy Crush.
Okay.
Right. And what do you do?
It's just like breaking, you know, squares and reaching sort of different achievements and everything. But it's really good for like when you're because I'm a soccer mum too, Robin. So when you're sitting at training, you know, pretty much your whole life, something else to do.
Yeah, and Marto doesn't get it. Like, he's just looking at me just going, why aren't you sleeping?
Grab a paper.
The paper's yourself. A little boring and it makes you, then you are asleep in your car and that's a bit, you know, embarrassing at times. But,
really?
You know, Two Dots, you're achieving things, getting stuff done.
No, you're not. Hold on. Let me come down on the side of common sense. You're not achieving anything playing Two Dots, or to save time, we'll just call it Dots. That's not achieving anything.
Well, I'm achieving wasting away time sitting at soccer fields in the middle of winter.
Yes, you are. Boom, boom.
But if you read the paper or a magazine or something, you're actually furthering your education a little bit.
Yes, that is true. This is true. But, you know, it's sad news and everything, and I'm not interested in all that.
I know. Get stuck into it, Carmen. I'm happy for you.
And the thing is, too, like, I can get the newspaper, I can get all the stories online. So the newspaper's like at least 24 hours old. At least I'm just updating my stuff with, you know, these time wasters.
Candy Crush.
on the Two Dots.
I've just downloaded Two Dots. Okay. Thank you very much, Carmen. Great.
Marto, Ed, and Robin.
Time for our news segment. Now, Robin.
Want me to do this?
Are we calling? Well, it depends on what we're going to call it. Marto suggested a name, which is...
Show us your tips, Robin.
How do you feel about that name, Robin?
You know, I'll give it a crack if you want.
Wrong?
No, it's all right. It's the, you
know...
Is
that the old Triple M we would have called it that? Is that what we're looking at?
You're just true. Being wacky and zany with a little double entendre. Anyway, okay. So...
What are your tips?
Storms versus Broncos. I was just asking the question, do you go with your team... always, and Marto went no. So isn't Billy Slater coming back to the Storm? Did I get that right?
That's right.
Okay, so I'm going Storm.
Robin Sturlow once told me, he said, if you're in doubt, like if you're going, oh, I can barely separate these two, and I'm like that with the Storm Broncos, go with the home team.
Oh, okay, well, I've still got the Storm.
So Bulldogs Warriors?
Bulldogs Warriors, I'll go Bulldogs. Mm-hmm.
They're playing in Dunedin.
Oh, see,
isn't that a weird one?
Yeah,
you know what happens in Dunedin,
don't
you?
What?
Ed, what happens in Dunedin?
So many things.
Remember Adam Thompson, the former All Black?
That one. Sorry, they take their couches to the ground and then they burn them.
Mm. Yeah. They throw them over the fence and then they go in and sit on them. And then at the end of the game, if it doesn't go well for them, they burn them.
So do you want to change your tip?
No, I'm going on Bulldogs because, let's face it, New Zealanders really only care about rugby.
Okay. Correct.
So, you know, Bulldogs. Titans versus Eels. I'm just going with the Eels. Don't know why.
Good call.
Corey Norman's out, though.
Okay. I don't know.
Corey Norman.
Knights versus Rabbitohs. I just like the Rabbitohs. And aren't the Knights just crap?
One last week for the first time in 322 days.
Think about it like a girl, though. Like if a knight with his sword came walking down the street and a rabbit came the other way, who'd win?
Well, if Russell Crowe was the rabbit, I'd go with Russell Crowe's rabbit.
Okay, Rusty. Stay with the rabbits.
Rusty. Okay.
Stay with
now,
the rabbits.
I really struggled with Panthers versus Roosters. Now, you were struggling because of form. I was struggling because I didn't care.
They're both paying $1.90. Like, you can't split them.
Come on, Ed.
Is that Raiders? Yeah?
No,
Raiders.
Roosters.
Oh, Roosters. Oh, no, I can't stand the Roosters. I used to have to go and watch them with my friends. I can't stand them, so Panthers.
Okay, yeah. Go on. Thank you.
And anyone from the eastern suburbs, they hate going to Penrith.
Oh, good, okay. Well, Panthers, righto. Yeah. Cowboys versus Eagles. I'm going the Cowboys because of what happened last week. Geez, they were good.
Good on those Cowboys.
Okay, Raiders versus Tigers.
Seagulls are in real trouble. Are they? Top level, yeah. Their CEO's having a fight with Bozo Fulton. So I think you're on the right track there.
Okay, Raiders versus Tigers.
She's not listening, is she?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
The Tigers, only because as a little girl, I used to go and hang out at the Balmain
Leagues
Club.
You're mad. Big Dave Taylor is making his debut for the Canberra Raiders. He's a massive wrecking ball of a human. He's my favourite football player. And come on, Robin, get on board.
Okay, so Raiders, am I changing that one?
Raiders.
And Sharks versus Dragons, only because the Sharkies won at the Premiership and all that. No, did they? Yeah, they did.
Never doubt yourself.
No, I thought, okay, go with your first thought, Robin. So there you go. I only got three out of
eight. Is that at Shark
eight.
Park, Robin? Is that at Shark
yes,
Park?
Is
that in Cronulla? What do we call Shark Park here, Robin? A dump.
Do we? Why?
Because it's a dump, and I've been there many times.
Okay.
They're Robin's footy tips. Lock them in. Got a grand total of three last week, Robin.
Yeah,
so you're on the board.
Well, yeah, but
that's
so did
week.
Marto.
Yeah. It was a tough week last week.
Was it? For some.
Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.
Marto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
All right. This week, of course, it's markets. What are Brisbane's best markets? We posed that question on Monday. We got all the nominees. How are we going with it?
Yeah, pretty well, actually. West End markets are still on 15%, but the rest are moving around. Rocklea markets have gone from 5% to 9%.
Redcliffe had nothing yesterday. How are they going?
Yeah, they've gone to 7%.
Righto.
Eat Street markets, 9%. Jan Power's farmers markets in Manly, 8%. Castledine
markets.
They're
not very big ones, those ones in Manly.
No, the Castledine markets were on 27%. They've dropped back a bit to 21%.
She's a fairly mixed book. We should talk to somebody. Have you got someone there, Ed?
Yes, mate. Now, we want to speak to people who are in there, in the mix, in the markets, which are what makes markets great, with the individuals that show up and have their wares and have a stall. And we've got Dave here, owner of Crazy Lemon, traditional lemonade. They're at West End Markets, Redcliffe Markets, Jan Powers, Farmers Markets, Manly. All of them. Basically all of them.
What?
G'day, Dave.
Good morning. How are you guys?
What are you guys operate out of, Dave? A van or something or a tent?
No, a tent. We have a normal gazebo and like most of the guys, yeah.
You make that really yummy lemonade, don't you?
I hope so, and I drink it every day, so...
It's a great hangover cure, because I remember, you know, kind of staggering around the West End markets after a big night and trying to find your stuff, because it actually makes you feel a whole lot better.
I try not to promote that, but it does, and it does. The lemon is actually alkalinize the body, so it's pretty good for your liver, so that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. Yeah, lemon water and lemon water is one of my wife's favourites, so Crazy Lemon would be even better than that. Yeah. All right, so just take us through the markets that you're out there every weekend and every, you know,
well,
you're
he's at 1, 2, 3, 4, you're at 5 of the markets who are in the top 10. What makes a good market? What's the difference? Why should people be voting on a particular one, Dave?
Obviously the variety of products that you can find, and what I like about the markets is you get to meet the people that actually make the product and local farmers. And it's a great atmosphere, because people on the weekend, they just like to travel and do something different and relax.
Parking's important, Dave.
Parking's important. Obviously, that can be a struggle in different places. But Brisbane's getting busy.
Okay. Well, West End markets are leading the charge of the four that you're in. But what's your favourite one of the ones that you go to?
I don't know. I'm live, so it's going to be careful what I've got to say. But
which one's your favourite Robin?
We started off at Jan Power Markets and also West End, so they're our two I'd say favourite, because we've been there so long for 10 years now.
Wow!
So yeah, West End in the city, it's fantastic to see this type of community.
Come together. And so, Dave, we're talking to Dave from Crazy Lemons. There you go, 10 years. doing a great job. Crazy with a K, of course, which is how things are normally spelled. Yeah, Crazy Lemon, traditional lemonade. What a success story. 10 years now, I'm sure, thanks to so much support from all the different markets. So you can jump on. You can vote now. Think about, well, what products do I like?
Where's the best coffee? Where's the best bacon and egg roll? Geez, that's an important one too.
Yes. Maybe they'd have those, that every now and again you'll get a local sporting team or someone or the Rotary Club or something will have their sausage sizzle like they have it out the front of Bunnings. It's always nice. Going to a good cause. TripleM.com.au. Vote for your favourite market or see if there's a market there that you haven't heard of before. You may want to go and check it out.
Yeah, thanks for your time, Dave.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great day. Huh?
Go on your day, mate.
Hey, yeah, right, Marto. Remember yesterday, what were we talking about with Adele?
I said that she is attempting, she is trying to, many things she's trying to ruin, traffic in Brisbane, she's trying to ruin people's relationships with the local council by whinging about them having genuine concerns about the traffic, but her main thing is to try and ruin cricket. Her stage is in the middle of the Gabba, it's now stuffed, and there's only a few months away from the first test against England. It's around the corner.
But they haven't got enough time. They said yesterday they haven't got enough time to get the wicket ready and get to underway for the test in November before the AFL players start running all over it. And the sports minister yesterday, Queensland sports minister, he went over there and front page of the paper today, hello, a drop-in wicket. They're thinking about pulling the traditional Gabba wicket, which will, you remember Lee Matthews when he was coaching the Lions used to always whinge about the wicket because it was hurting players' backs and stuff.
Yes.
So there's going, grab the whole block out of there, go and grow it somewhere else and then drop it in before the test.
So it literally is a drop-in wicket. Like they create it and put it in. Doesn't that make it better?
What happens? You asked me during the song and I said, I'll wait on it. I'll explain it. 25 metres long, 3 metres wide, 200 millimetres deep. So that much. Mm-hmm. Okay, 8 inches. They go away and grab it and then... Well, see that photo I've got you there? There's that machine. It comes hovering and just drops it into place and away you go. Within a week, it's all knitted together and ready to go.
Well, why isn't that a good thing? That just guarantees that you play well.
Ed, do you want to explain?
Look, there's a number of sort of problems with drop-in pitches because you can't tell, Robin, you can't tell what it's going to do because it's never been bedded in there. It's a bit like a transplant of an organ. You're hoping that it all goes okay, but it may break up. You don't know how it's going to behave in relation to the rest of the grass, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So it's quite risky. And then you look over in India, Marto, and they've
got... That's what we want to talk.
This is the worst pitch ever prepared for a test match. The whole thing's going to be over in...
2 days?
It could be over today. It could be over today.
So we're talking, you know, test cricket, not as popular as it used to be, Robin, and Big Bash going for 20 overs each team and is hugely popular with the youngsters. I think the Indians are onto something here by producing a pitch that looks like a, well, what does it look like? It's got cracks in it that big and stuff.
It looks like the top of a Mars bar. It's dark brown and it's got sort of ridges.
So sometimes the ball will go low, sometimes high. And batsmen, it'll finally be where the game should be. The game's been dominated. This is a serious chat now. The game, especially at test level or at all levels, has been dominated by batsmen. All right? This is the comeback of the bowler, which means kids love these big bash games that don't go for very long. This test match will only go for 2 days, and that's what kids will love. No one under 40 is watching test cricket. So this will be like two big bash games back to back. I think the Indians have nailed something here. I think this is a worldwide experiment. And from now on, we don't care about the Gabba. Just don't even drop anything and just make it some grass. So people want batsmen to get out. And if they get hit somewhere, that's all the better.
So what you're proposing is, and I'm starting to agree with you, before every test match, there's an Adele concert.
That's right.
And then we start playing
Eminem if he wants to come on board, if you want Alice Cooper, and then AC/DC in the 1 week before a test starts.
And then for Sheffield Shield games, you'd have to get smaller bands, like maybe Ganga Jang.
Yes.
Maybe it's Ganga Jang, and then the Bulls
Guy
play
Sebastian?
Victoria. It's Guy Sebastian, and then Queensland plays Victoria. Wonderful.
Marto and Robin, the new Triple M.